The subject that's on my heart this morning is our heart, H-E-A-R-T, our heart. I really believe that many times in our lives that we concentrate on cleaning up the outside of the body, we concentrate on doing things that are right and good, but we don't examine our hearts enough and we don't look at what's on the inside as much as the outside. We don't look at the roots that are below the ground. We look at the leaves and the branches that are above the ground, but we don't examine our heart. And we need to learn what God's Word has to say about our heart. We need to know that there are things that we can do once we have been born of the Spirit of God. There are things that we can do that will cause us to for our heart to be better than it is if we don't look at and examine and work on improving our hearts. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we know that we need thee every moment of our lives. We have just sung, I need thee every hour. And we, Lord, know that we do need thee. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us. We know that it is in thee that we live and move and have our very being. We know, Lord, that we are completely dependent upon thee, and we ask you now to help us as we come together in thy house, and as we begin to study thy holy word. We pray that you would help us, that we might concentrate on the word of God, that we might hear, believe, obey, and understand the word of God, that we might receive the word of God into our hearts, and then that we would hold on to that word, that we would not let Satan take the word out of our hearts, that as we hold on to the Word and we meditate on the Word of God, that we would then begin to bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. We thank you again, Lord, for the blessings that we've already experienced today. We thank you for the blessings of this past week. We thank you for your watch, care, and protection and blessings on various ones in the congregation in very special ways. And we pray now that as we begin to study the Word of God, we pray that you would manifest your presence and your power and your peace to us, that we might know and feel that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Help us now as we study about our heart. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the King of Kings, the one who has redeemed us from our sins. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We begin now with Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Listen, please, to verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The Word of God says, the heart is deceitful above all things. How many of you have ever heard the expression, just follow your heart? Just follow your heart. Well, if you follow your heart, most of the time you're going to go in the wrong direction. We need to follow the Word of God. The Word of God tells us here about our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. You notice the Word of God says here that God searches the heart. God looks right down into our heart. Right now, God knows what's in our heart. He doesn't just see that we are here. That's all I can look and see. I cannot see your heart. I look and I see that you're in the house of God, and I'm glad that you're in the house of God, but I can't see your heart. The Bible tells us here that the Lord searches the heart. In 1 Samuel, the Word of God says that the Lord seeth not as man seeth, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looketh on the heart. And going back even to the beginning of the creation of the world, God knew all about Adam's heart and Eve's heart. God knew it after, in Genesis chapter 6, the Word of God tells us that after the earth began to be multiplied, and after there began to be a lot of people on the earth, the Bible says that God looked and saw that every imagination and the thoughts of men were only evil continually. Every imagination, the scripture says, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. So what did God do then when he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually? What did God do then? He destroyed the earth with a flood. So I want to remind us that there are serious consequences when our heart is not right. That question is asked in the scriptures, is thine heart right? And that's the question that I've been asking myself this week several times. And I have found that there have been several times this week that my heart has not been right. And we can do something. After we've been born of the Spirit of God, we can do something to have a better heart. We can do something to correct things that are wrong in our hearts. We can do something with the help and grace of God. We can do something so that our heart can be a blessing rather than a cursing. Did you know that even coming to the house of God and singing songs and all that we do here, if our heart is not in it, then it doesn't please God. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 15, turn there just a moment, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. The Word of God talks about, this is a prophecy about that Isaiah gave, and the Word of God says in Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus is speaking about a people, and he says in Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Has your heart sometimes been somewhere else? Though your body was in the house of God, has your heart sometimes been somewhere else? Yes. Even in our homes, sometimes our heart is not in loving the members of our family. Well, we can do something about that. But we can't do something to fix a problem until we first examine our heart and realize something is wrong with my heart. Did you know there's something wrong with everybody's heart in here today? There's not a single one of us that cannot do something to improve our heart condition. There are things that we do when we have problems, physical problems with our natural heart. There are things that we can do that will improve that. And the same thing is true of the spiritual heart. There are things that you can do when there's something wrong with your heart. There are things that you can do that will improve that. Turn to Mark chapter 7. I want you to see that if you don't do something to clean up your heart, can you clean up your heart? Can you do something to clean up your heart? Indeed, you can. That's what James is speaking about when he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, is that something God does for us, or is that something God tells us to do? Listen, brethren, when we do what we ought to be doing, God will help us to cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts. If my heart is not right toward you, I need to get it right. If my heart is not right toward God, I need to get it right. A corrupt heart will destroy your life. Mark chapter 7, the Word of God tells us what happens when we leave our hearts unchecked. Here's the kind of things that will come out in your life if your heart is corrupt. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, Jesus says, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Where do all those things come from? According to Jesus Christ, they come out of the man, but where do they come from? They come from the heart. Out of the heart proceed these things. Verse 23 says, "All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So if you don't do something to correct the problem, and I know and I understand, brethren, that it's only after we're born of the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about dead alien sinners doing something to fix their heart, but I am saying that after God has come and has given us a new heart, and after we have been born of the Spirit of God, we have a responsibility to keep our hearts in the right way. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. The Word of God tells us that the saints of God have many times in ages gone by, the saints of God have hardened their hearts. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 3. Look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8. What kind of heart do you think the children of Israel had while they were in Egypt? And they had those taskmasters over them. They had people that were beating them. They had people that were taking advantage of them. Do you think their hearts were broken? Do you think they had an humble and a contrite heart? Do you think they were crying unto God? Well, the Bible says that was the condition. They were crying to God to deliver them. Their hearts were broken. You know what God does? When He finds an humble and a contrite heart, He lifts it up. The children of Israel, they had a broken and contrite heart and spirit while they were in Egypt. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cries, and God delivered them. But it was not long. It was not long once God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. It was not long after they got out into the wilderness. It was not long before that heart that had been good, that heart that had been tender, that heart that had been broken, a broken heart and a contrite spirit that they had in Egypt, they began to lose that kind of a heart, and they began to harden their hearts. By the way, brethren, the only people that can harden their hearts are children of God. Because you can't harden something that hasn't been there, and you can't harden something that hasn't been sought. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, Hebrews 3 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their" what? Do you know that all erring begins? You know where it all begins? All erring begins in the heart. I have never erred in my walk unless I first erred in my heart. I have never erred in my talk unless I first erred in my heart. Everything that we do that is corrupt, everything we do that was wrong, every feeling that we have, it all starts in the heart. And the Word of God is warning us here, do not harden your heart. Because if you harden your heart, you will be like the children of Israel who did always err in their heart. The scripture says in the rest of verse 10, it says, and they have not known my ways. God says, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, brethren, entering into his rest is different than entering into the eternal heaven. God did not say that all of those Jews that came out of Egypt, they were 20 years of age and older at the time the law was given. God did not say they were going to die and go to hell, but God did say they would not enter into the land of Canaan. They would not enter into his rest. Likewise, in our lives today, if we harden our hearts, if we quench the Spirit is another way that we might put that. But if we harden our hearts, we're going to be broken off. We're not going to enter into his rest. Listen carefully now to verse 12. He says, take heed. And who is he speaking to? To whom is he speaking? What's the next word?
Brethren.
Take heed, brethren. We're not talking about those who are not children of God. We're talking about those who are children of God, who have been given a new heart and are being led by the Spirit of God, yet they can harden their heart. And so he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. Brethren, I have seen our nation. You've seen our nation that had a heart toward God, a heart that feared God, a heart that loved God. We had a nation that the people of God, for the most part in America, their heart was right. And we have seen hearts err. We are seeing our nation go completely away from God. We have seen churches that at one time upheld the banner of truth and righteousness, and their hearts were right. But what have we seen? We have seen them depart from the living God. And that's what verse 12 says. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When we have fellowship with the ungodly workers of this world, when it doesn't make any difference the kind of people that we hang around with, I want you to know you've got an evil heart of unbelief. When the people that you are around are people that are walking contrary to God's word and God's way, if that's the kind of people that you're going to have fellowship with, then you're going to depart from the living God just like they have departed from the living God. Jesus says this. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the what? Talking about the heart. Which one of the Beatitudes talks about the heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want you to know, that's not talking about dying and going home to be with the Lord. That Beatitude is talking about children of God that have not hardened their hearts, and children of God who have examined their hearts, and they have cleansed their hands and purified their hearts. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The only children of God that can see God working in their lives and all around them are those who are pure in heart. They see the glory of God. They see the power of God. They see the love of God. They see God's grace in their lives every day. Blessed are the pure in heart. Can you do something as a child of God to fix things that are wrong in your heart? Yes, you can. By looking to God, you can fix the things that are wrong in your heart. And I beg you, I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord who can help you fix your heart. If I have a serious heart problem, brethren, I'm going to go to the best heart doctor that I know, and that's Jesus Christ. If I have not only a physical heart problem, I will probably also go to another medical doctor, but I will acknowledge that it's only by the grace of God that any medical doctor can do any good for a physical heart. Well, there is a, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? We have a Father that loves us, and when your heart is all messed up, and your heart is hardened, and your heart is evil, and you have an evil heart of unbelief, and you're departing from the living God, you need to cry to God. And if you've already gotten away from God, you need to cry to God. David got away from God. You know what caused David to commit adultery with Bathsheba? His heart erred before anything else erred in his body. His heart erred before anything else happened in his life. If your heart gets away from God, you see, the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first statement that's made. Doesn't matter if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The first statement is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And if you're loving God with all your heart, you're not going to be loving the things of the world. Love Him with all your heart, and your heart won't go astray. Love God with all your heart, and your heart won't be hardened. Love the Lord with all your heart. Now David got away from God. He started out by his heart erring, and he stopped loving God with all of his heart. And then he began to get worse and worse and worse, until finally David had a corrupt heart. So corrupt that he not only could commit adultery, but his heart was so corrupt that he could kill, and it did not bother him. He was as cold-hearted as a man could get. When a man as faithful as Uriah the Hittite would be brought home from battle and would not even go to his wife, but would just lay outside the king's gate and say, if my soldiers can't go to their wives, I won't go to my wife. I'll tell you, Uriah the Hittite was one of the most godly men that's ever walked the face of this earth. And his wife was corrupted by a man who had an evil heart. And God's judgments came on David because his heart departed from God, and because he erred, his heart erred, his life erred, and then actions began to take place that he would have never done before. And as he carried out those actions, his heart began to be cold and hard and went far away from God. It went past feeling. Can your conscience be seared with a hot iron? Can your heart become, as we began reading earlier, that the heart, I read from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want you to know that's the condition that your heart was in before God came to you. But I want you to know, if you don't keep your heart, it'll go right back to being desperately wicked. Now David's heart became desperately wicked. And whenever God's judgments began to come on him, God told him the sword would never depart from his house. And the judgments began to come one after another. Boom, boom, boom. You know what David began to realize? He began to realize that him letting his heart wander had brought all that hell in his life. I want you to turn with me now to Psalm 51 just a moment. Look at Psalm 51. I want you to hear the crying of David. I encourage you to go home and look at Psalm 51, the whole chapter. But especially right now, I want us to look at Psalm 51, verses 10, 11, and 12. David has acknowledged in the earlier part of this psalm, David has acknowledged just how wicked and sinful and deceitful his heart is. Just how hard and how wretched his heart is. And then in Psalm 51 verse 10, David begins to cry out to God. And he says in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Did he have a dirty, filthy heart by himself? Could he change that? He could not change that. Was he asking to be born again? No. He had already been born again, but he had gone far away from God. And now he's saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Do you hear what David is doing? He's crying unto God, God, create in me a clean heart. I want you to know, brethren, that every morning when you get up, you need to pray, God, I think this is more important than you praying for you to think right or speak right or walk right. More important than that is, God, help me to have a clean heart today. Help me to have a pure heart today. Because if my heart is pure, everything else is going to work out just right. And if you don't start off with a pure heart, nothing else is going to work. No matter how hard you try, if your heart's not right, nothing else is going to be of any value. Listen carefully. Psalm 51, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Have you ever seen anybody with a broken heart? I'm not talking about broken because they've had trouble in their lives. David's heart was broken because he had all that trouble. But I'm talking about a heart that's broken because they realize that they are sinners. That publican that went into the temple to pray, that Pharisee didn't have a broken heart, but the publican did. And he cried unto God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. God fixed his heart that day. God can fix your heart. God can create in you a clean heart. God can help you. God can help you purify your heart. In Psalm 57, after we're reading in Psalm 51, but in Psalm 57 and verse 7, David says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Can you hear the difference in the weeping and the crying in Psalm 51 and the rejoicing in Psalm 57 when David is crying, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. As I try to preach the Word of God, Jesus says it's like sowing seed. And as I sow the seed, and the children of God hear, some children of God, their hearts are like stony ground. And some children of God have thorns and thistles and the cares and the riches of this world. They hear it with joy. They rejoice for a while. But there's only one of the four categories that Jesus gives in the parable in Luke chapter 8. There's only one of those that in an honest and pure heart, in an honest and good heart, they receive the Word of God. And when they receive it in that honest and good heart, you know what they always do? They always bring forth fruit to perfection. I hope that God will help us this morning to realize that out of the heart, proceed the issues of life. If you want to feel great peace in your soul, if you want to feel the presence of God with you, you must begin to get up every day and start out with fixing your heart. May God help us to do that. Amen. Amen. Did you hear what she said? She said when she said, Lord, I love you better than this cigarette, that God took it away from her. That's a great blessing.